Hey everyone, welcome to the Matt Report. As always, I'm your host Matt, and this is the show where we talk to real WordPress entrepreneurs, people who are running companies, may not even realize they're running WordPress companies, and we bring them onto the show so that they can share their story, let us know how they did it, give us some advice, help us out in our journey. MattReport.com, MattReport.com/subscribe to join the newsletter. And today, the man who's been all over the media lately, media man himself, Jeff Chandler of WP Tavern fame. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, Matt, thanks for letting me be on the show. I see you're famous now. You're all over the place. Yeah, everyone's like, I want to be on Matt Report, so here I am.
Thank you. Thank you for that. So you joined, and to give folks a quick summary of the foundation of this show, we're going to talk about you know, how you built WP Tavern, what it was like, and you shared some stories on Dradcast last night, you know, breaking news about, you know, who acquired WP Tavern, how you did it, how much you got for it. But before we go that far, give folks a two-minute drill, the two-minute elevator pitch, who you are, what you do.
So as you alluded to, I'm Jeff Chandler. I live in Northern Ohio, and essentially what I am now is Tavern Keeper of WPTavern.com. And what WP Tavern is, it's a website that is community focused. So it's what I'm doing with WP Tavern is providing an outlet for everybody else within the general WordPress community. No matter how crazy people think you are or how crazy your ideas are, WP Tavern is a platform for you to get your voice out there to the greater good. And I do that through WordPress Weekly, which I'll be bringing back soon. We could talk about that later in the show, through the WP Tavern forums, which will be relaunched shortly, and through the WP Tavern website. So I'm pretty much using WP Tavern as a stage that everybody else can use, because sometimes it's really hard to get your thoughts, voices, opinions, and concerns out there. And I think I've done a really good job over the years of taking some of the thoughts, opinions, and concerns of this thing we call WordPress and putting them out there into the for everyone else to see through WP Tavern.
Yeah, no, it's some of the stuff I heard and following you over the years is pretty tremendous, what you've accomplished. And one of the things that really hit home with me last night when I was listening to you on the show, you started WP Tavern and you mentioned, like, I was, you know, working a part-time gig and I was kind of doing this, and then I had to go back to my part-time gig when things just weren't going great. Earlier in the show, before the show started, we talked about, hey, I never really considered WP Tavern a business. Did you consider yourself an entrepreneur with what you're doing, or were you more like, hey, I'm just an advocate for this stuff?
No, I never considered myself an entrepreneur. I still don't consider myself an entrepreneur. I don't consider WP Tavern a business. You know, I'm just a Joe Schmo in Northern Ohio, was not surrounded by anything tech. You know, I used to joke around and say the biggest thing to a tech conference we had here in Ohio was a LAN party where we just, you know, come out and bring our computers and do some gaming. I just, in 2007, when I created a blog called Jeffro 2.0, and was one of the worst domains I think anybody could ever purchase, because it was Jeffro and then the number 2 and PT and 0. It was crazy. But the purpose of that site was to review a bunch of the Web 2.0 sites and services that were springing up all over the place. It was like tech bubble all over again. And that's where things like Flickr and Facebook and some of the other pretty cool websites that were able to hang around came from. And I needed a website I needed a content management system to power that website, to manage all my content. And in my background, I came up with PostNuke, PHP Nuke. I used E107 for a while. I used just about everything that you would see in Fantastico, which comes with your web hosting account, just to try out different things, see which was easier to use. And all of them kind of have their different merits and stuff like that. But I finally came across something called Mambo. And I thought Mambo was awesome because they had so many different, they call them modules, and all their themes were really good looking. So I used Mambo for a while, but then that forked into Joomla, and Joomla is what we have now today. And I was a big fan of Joomla. So I ended up choosing Joomla for my Jeffro 2.0 site, and noticed that it wasn't going to, at the time, Joomla didn't have comments. It wasn't meant for blogging, and that's pretty much what I really wanted to do, was just push content out there and encourage community. And Actually, the comments that I wanted to add a Joomla were a paid plugin. So, I mean, and I think I actually purchased that and ended up being really mad at myself because it was a waste of money. So I said, you know, I can't use Joomla. This is too much for what I need. I'm going to use WordPress. But I'm not quite sure how I came about finding out about this thing called WordPress, but I ended up giving it a try. And I started modifying the theme to give myself a custom design. I said, this is too hard. This is crazy. It says I'm messing around with code. I'm going back to Joomla, something I know. So I install Joomla, decide, okay, I can't do it. You know, this is too much. I'm going to give WordPress a second try. And once I did that and I took a deep breath and I started looking at the codecs and different things like that, I just fell in love with WordPress. So I started using that real heavily in 2007 for the Jeffro 2.0 website. And I was talking about all these different web services, and I was actually pretty successful at the time because my technique, I thought about this, was if I would write about a Web 2.0 service and it got popular, I was hoping that those guys would post links back to my site to generate traffic. And in fact, this technique worked one time. I don't know if you remember, but there was a website that came out at the time called Invite Share or Share Invite. And it was a service that popped up where all these different Web 2.0 services that were popping up at the time were invite only. And people were clamoring for these invites to be the first into their service. So I wrote a review about this Invite Share and talked about it. And next thing you know, TechCrunch also, or he linked to my site, my review I did. And then TechCrunch covered Invite Share, and I got a ton of traffic from that link from TechCrunch, and then eventually TechCrunch ended up buying Invite Share, so that was pretty cool. And through that whole time, he left a link up to my site with my review, so that technique was pretty well.
Yeah, but were you at that time selling ads on the site, and what you were trying to do is get some Google ad dollars?
No, actually, at the time, I just decided I wanted to write about this stuff. I mean, there was no hint of me wanting to run a business. There was no hint of me wanting to make money. I mean, I was still doing my job, but in my off time, I was creating this website, just generating content just for fun. You know, it was just something I enjoyed doing. I liked writing about tech and things I found online and sharing my reviews and opinions, and it was working out well.
Yeah. It was more about, for you, it was just like, hey, I just want to build this audience. I want to get traffic to the site and let me just explore some ways to do this.
Right. Making money was the last thing in my mind because I already had a side job and this was just for fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then from there, you started, you were, you know, dabbling in the tech review side of things. And then you said, you know, I'm going to focus down on WordPress.
Right. Well, so I was reading about all these different Web 2.0 services, but the site was powered by WordPress. And because I had a interest in WordPress, I always wanted to be kept up on the news and the latest updates that were coming out for the software. And I ended up taking a liking to how cool it was to add different parts of functionality to the software through plugins. And I was taking a look at all the different themes that were available. So I ended up creating a lot of content on my site about WordPress. And it just so happens that one day, a guy by the name of Mark Ghosh, who owns and operates WebLawToolsCollection.com, was invited me or sent me an email and said, hey, how would you like to get paid to write for about WordPress? I said, okay. So I sent him an email. He sent me back a reply, and next thing you know, I'm getting paid to write about WordPress on WebLawToolsCollection.com, which at the time was the premier website about WordPress. It was in the dashboard. Anyone who installed WordPress was able to see my content, so that was pretty cool. And at that time, that's when I started thinking, hey, you know, if I'm doing this well, if I have something that I've got going on that people love to see when it comes to writing WordPress content, maybe I could start something on my own. So that's when I started thinking about creating a site on my own. I guess maybe that's where some of the business part of me came out of me, where I said, you know, instead of giving all my content, spending all this time and energy on a different website, maybe I should start something on my own. And that's kind of where the birth of WP Tavern came from.
That's great. That's great. So, I mean, in all sense of things, you were way, and you talked about this last night too, you were way ahead of your time.
Yes.
I mean, you're doing the SEO tactics, you were doing guest blogging, content marketing. You're doing all these things that, you know, in the last year or so have been like the premier thing to get traffic to your site.
Yeah.
Right? The best way to build a community, the best way to sell a product. But you said something interesting too, before, you know, being in the middle of, you know, middle of nowhere in Ohio, you know, I'm not in San Francisco. I'm not in a big major metro area where tech is all around us. But building WP Tavern out of in the middle of nowhere, I mean, it proves the point that it's possible, right?
Yes.
And your best steps to get there were to develop this community.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts or tips for folks on building a community, especially when they feel like, you know, who's going to listen to me in the middle of the woods?
Well, I think one of the reasons for the initial success of WPTavern.com was my writing. I wrote for WebLawToolsCollection.com for a number of months prior to actually starting my own WordPress-centric website. And some of the best stuff I've ever written, I've ever published about WordPress, is on that website. And using WebLawToolsCollection.com, their audience, I was able to generate actually a following that would just sit there and want to see the next post that I wrote. And I ended up generating a following through that site. So I was able to take the following from that site and transfer it over to WPTavern.com. And I think that's one of the biggest reasons for its initial success, because I created a platform. I didn't start at the ground level. I was up a couple levels, and I was able to start there as I built up WPTavern.com. I already had an established audience, and all they did was just move from one place to the other.
Yeah.
What types of articles
What types of articles did people enjoy that you were writing on the other blog?
I think some of the articles that came out, and specifically challenged Matt, not necessarily attacked him, but challenged Matt, challenged his decisions. I didn't really write about the status quo. Everything was not hunky-dory. Everything's fine. Let's ignore this. Let's ignore that. Listening and reviewing the discussions that were happening in the community and generating a post out of that so that those concerns were voiced to a wide audience. I think those are the ones that really generated a lot of comments and community around those.
Yeah, and I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, you had a lot of experience playing with all these different platforms, and back then, WordPress obviously wasn't as big as it is now, right?
So, no, it's huge.
You and I were both experiencing back then. We're you know Joomla, Mambo, PostNuke, WordPress, you know, figuring out all this stuff. That's when everything was in like beta, right? Because that's when everything was growing, and. Yeah. What I like about your story, and I, you know, not to toot my own horn here, but it's the same thing. It's like you come into a community or you start using this product that you know a few other people are using, but as soon as you start sending out your voice, taking that step back and saying, hey, everyone thinks it's great. Everyone's hugging each other. It's community. We love each other, right? Everything's great. But then you come in with, you know what? As an outsider just coming in, there could be some things that aren't just working out right here.
Right.
You know, everyone is saying, oh, it's great. It's so easy to use, but it just took me, you know, 3 months to figure out how to edit my theme. Or you know, that as an example. Do you remember what kind of stories there were that you were kind of challenging the status quo with?
Yeah, there were a couple. One, in the early days of WordPress, in fact, this is still an issue today, although not as much as it was, but I discovered one day I decided I'm going to be a little adventurous and go into my database. So I went into PHP, my admin, on my web hosting account, and I started looking through the database of my WordPress site, and I started noticing tables and junk in there that from plugins I have deleted months prior to that, and their garbage was left in there. So I said, you know, this is no good. So I started thinking as an end user, if I uninstall a plugin, I want everything of that plugin to be gone. It's almost like having to reformat your computer to get rid of all the junk that's still left in there from things you uninstalled. So I wrote an article on about the subject of uninstall, is there such a thing? And it basically laid out the groundwork of, hey, if you uninstall certain plugins, things are left behind. And boy, that generated a lot of interest, a lot of page views, and a lot of comments, because it was something that was going on behind the scenes in the database. You know, people are scared to go in there and mess around with that, and are advised not to go in there and mess around if you don't know what you're doing. But a lot of people didn't know that this was going on. And so I think that's why bringing something like that to light was just, you know, was one of the best articles of my career in writing WordPress.
I mean, that's a problem that still happens.
Yes.
I mean, even years later, we're still struggling with that. You know, it's one of the topics that of obviously is on my mind is, does business belong in WordCamps? I mean, I did a special edition with Jake Goldman and Chris Lemma about this stuff. And hey, look, this is what happens as humans, right? As every time the community starts to expand, you just have more human input. You can't mm-hmm. satisfy everyone. You can't get everyone on the same path. It's not easy, right?
No.
Especially when it's a democracy, because everybody has their voice.
Right.
I mean, where do you see the WordPress community going today as we turn 10 years old, the software? I mean, to me, it's we're still in our infancy. We still have yet to really hit that increase. Where do you see us going?
Well, when you stop and think about it, the WordPress community is amazing. When I say community, I mean it's worldwide. I mean, we have I get stuck in this mindset of being U.S. centric and it's only what's going on here in the U.S. But I mean, I don't know this exact statistic off the top of my head, but there's a majority, almost half of the users of WordPress are from you know, China, Russia, all of the other countries across the pond. I mean, the UK is really big in WordPress. And so when you start thinking about the global picture of WordPress, I mean, it's insane. Just the usage of it, and I think it was really cool to see the 10-year anniversary party. They had a website set up to where you could see everybody having their parties and pictures, and there was people celebrating in Tokyo with WordPress birthday cakes, Russia, China, Africa, you name it. There were people, groups celebrating this software, and I think it's just really cool that despite nationalities, despite colors, despite race, despite creed, despite financial motives and all the different things that make us human beings, that we are able to come together and celebrate and have this love for this piece of software called WordPress. Yeah. And I think that's just going to continue, and I think it'll grow.
Yeah. And we're just going to have to deal with that chatter and figure it out. You know, some people are like, hey, I don't like WordCamps because XYZ. Well, start another one if you want. I mean, that's the power of this, right?
Right, right. That's the beauty. If you don't like the event that you've attended to, well, I mean, you can talk to the WordCamp website, the WordPress Foundation. You could start your own. Mm-hmm. You know, sort of just like the freedoms that WordPress allows you. I mean, you have the freedom to modify it. You have the freedom to redistribute it. You have the freedom to sell it if you really wanted to. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's one of the reasons why WordPress is so big and powerful today, is because of the freedoms it provides everybody. Yeah. And that's one of the core principles of the software, that's not only around the software, but Matt's been able to establish those principles with WordCamps and through other things that surround the software.
Right. And through that point, and we kind of get a little sidetracked talking about the community, but that's okay. What I was getting to before about, you know, being in the middle of Ohio, being in the middle of nowhere, as an entrepreneur, as a startup, everyone's thinking, God, will anybody listen to me? I mean, you couldn't do what you did with Matt if this were like a Google product, right? Because you'd never be able to just reach out to, you know, Sergey and be like, hey, I've been writing about your Google product for the last 5 years. You know, how do we connect? How do we make this better? You know, well, give folks a little insight. Like, how did you build your relationship with Matt over time?
Well, you know, the interesting thing is, I thought that being in Ohio in the middle of nowhere and writing about tech would be a detriment to what I wanted to achieve. But in reality, when you're publishing stuff online, when you're living in the online world, location really doesn't matter. You're just publishing stuff and nobody really cares where you're at, what you're doing. So I had that in my favor. But I ended up attending my first WordCamp down in 2008. It was down in Dallas. And that was the first time when I really got to see the WordPress community in action, where these people were traveling from all over the United States to this one place called WordCamp. And this is when WordCamps were really just starting to gain steam. And I think it was down there where I first met Matt in person. And to me, I'm thinking, okay, well, this guy, he's a multimillionaire. He runs Automattic. He's like one of the founders of the software. I said, this guy is a major celebrity. How am I going to get a hold of him? How am I going to talk to him? So I get down to WordCamp Dallas, and I see him, and everyone's crowding around him, so it's obvious I know who he is, and he's wearing this hat, and he's got this outfit that he wears. And so I walk up to him. I say, "Are you Matt Mullenweg?" He says, "Yeah." So I shake my hand, shake his hand. I say, "My name's Jeff. I run WPTavern.com." And he goes, "Oh, yeah, I've been watching your site for a long time." I said, "Really?" I said, "Oh, so you've seen some of the posts that kind of challenge you." He says, "Oh, yeah, those are good posts." So that was pretty cool. And it was just amazing that a guy like Matt that I thought would be like a celebrity, somebody I couldn't get a hold of, somebody I couldn't talk to. He was very receptive, and he still is to this day, of just talking to everybody and wanting to hear what everybody has to say. Yeah. So that was my initial getting to meet him face to face. And since then, I've been in contact with him through comments on blog posts, emails, and things of that nature. But boy, you know, that was really impressive to see how laid back and down to earth this guy was, considering the status, the platform I had put him on because of his success with Automattic and his various investments.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that going to my first few WordCamps, another inspiration for this show was I see folks who are afraid to talk to these celebrities in our community, right?
Yes.
Not as high as Matt as himself, but other people like really good developers, awesome designers, other entrepreneurs. And literally have witnessed people like, "Can I talk?" And then just let, and these people just walk by them, right? So I was like, you know what, this isn't right, because I understand people don't have time, etc. But let's get these people onto the show so other people can meet these folks. Let's expose the community for a good way to get these people to connect. That story right there that you just told about going down to Dallas, preparing yourself to meet Matt, and thinking about what you're going to say, to me, that's entrepreneurial right there, right? So that's like, there are people who won't even do that, right? I'm not even going to attempt, but you thought it out, you planned it, you introduced yourself.
I got to tell you, I was nervous.
Yeah, a lot of folks are, right?
You know, I had no idea. I mean, I thought, you know, I was trained that you see these celebrities, they're hard to get a hold of. They always have this red rope and bodyguards. I'm thinking, okay, I got to get through bodyguards to get to Matt. No, he was there just having a good time talking to anybody who wanted to talk, you know, and he'd talk to you for hours and just hang out. And he was there checking out the sessions. And, you know, that was one of the first things that I thought was really impressive, that he's just laid back and he's really receptive, and he's willing to talk to anybody without having to go through this big long chain of command.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. You said you've started Matt Report because you want to expose these people, which is interesting, because when I launched WordPress Weekly, which was a weekly podcast that talked about all things WordPress, that was also one of my goals, is to bring these guys on. Let's feature them. Let's do interviews. Let's find out what they're doing, what they're up to, how they got involved in all this. And turned out to be quite a success. And yeah, I'm glad to see that you're kind of upping it with video and everything. But
yeah,
glad to see you and Dragcast and some of these other guys kind of picking up where I left off.
Yeah, I want to talk. I want to talk about media, WordPress media. After we just get through a couple more stages of WP Tavern, WP Tavern. You meet Matt, 2008. You start putting out content. You're building the following. You're building the community. Last night you mentioned you got to a point where you're like, you know what? I think I'm just gonna sell this, right?
Yes.
Let's talk about the technicals of that. I mean, you threw out a figure of like $7,000. There are people who legitimately want to sell their site now. They've built up a little following. They want to sell their site. How did you go about it? Did you value it yourself? Did you get input to say that, hey, I think it's worth XYZ?
I went about it the way that probably nobody else should go about it. I decided, you know, when I was running WP Tavern for a number of years, I ended up, at first it was a passion, but it was a passion that took up so much of my time that I had to find out a way to fund that passion. So what did I do? I started putting display advertising on the website, affiliate links, try to get sponsorships to attend these WordCamps, sponsorships and ads on WordPress Weekly. And it just got to a point where I was a content producer. I loved interacting with people. I love producing content. I'm not a marketer. I'm not a sales guy. I'm not a business guy. Every time I come across an internet sales marketing page, it's that one page template. I just cringe. Makes me mad. So it got to a point where I wasn't making as much money to fund my passion. I was begging people almost to buy display ads when they disappear. I was writing more content that really wasn't interesting to me, but because I could slap an affiliate link on there, I wrote that type of content hoping that people would see that and just click buy, you know.
And you weren't getting results from that over time.
When I initially would write a review, I got a bump in sales then. But as it started progressing through the long tail, I didn't get as much results. It got to a point where it just wasn't. I think the biggest thing out of all the ways I was trying to make money was consistency. Mm-hmm. You know, when you work a job 32 hours a week, you get a paycheck, you know what you're going to be making. That's every week. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it unless you get fired. But through affiliate links and display ads, everything's really inconsistent. And it was just, I was doing things the way I wanted to do them. Maybe they weren't the correct ways. So maybe that's why it was one of my downfalls. But eventually I got to the point where I says, okay, well, I'm not able to fund my passion. I got to think of what I'm going to do here. So that's when I decided, I think I'm going to have to sell the site because, you know, bills were piling up. I was spending too much time doing WordPress Tavern and just not making the money. Yep. So I decided one day, okay, well, I want to buy this truck and I want to pay these bills. What do I need? $7,000. So I just come up with that number, not even evaluating my content, what I built, the show and everything that went along with the statistics. So I put it out there and said, hey, you know, I'm going to be selling WP Tavern. And I got a couple interested buyers like Yost of Valk and Ryan of WP Candy. And I got very close to just stealing the deal for $7,000 because at the time, that's all I needed. You know, that's all I cared about, getting $7,000 to pay my bills. So just as I was getting ready to finalize the deal, I got in touch with Matt and I said, hey, Matt, this is what's going on. This is my situation. I'm just about to finalize the deal here for $7,000. What do you think? He goes, are you nuts? I go, what do you mean? He goes, don't you know what you've done? You're seriously undervaluing your work and your contributions to the community. He says, what are you asking for? I said, $7,000. He says, well, I'll double that, $14,000. Here's a check. And now I said, okay. So we signed the deal and he became the new owner of the tavern. And I ended up with a nice check that ended up paying most of the bills off that were concerning me. But there's still a bit of passion left in me. I still wanted to write about WordPress. Mm-hmm. So a few weeks after the deal, I got in touch with him again. I says, hey, what do you think about paying me to maintain the site? Okay, so I made a deal with him, and he started paying me to maintain the site and write content on the tavern. And that went on for about a year or two. And then, I got to this point in my life where I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm getting paid a certain amount of money here from Matt to do WP Tavern, and I'm also getting paid a certain amount of money at my grocery store job, which I hated with a passion. I worked there for 13 years, and I hated that place. And I really thought I could get WP Tavern to a point where I can make that my primary source of income so I can quit my job at the store, but it just never happened. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's when I wrote the post about the WordPress news sites in the Bermuda Triangle, because I had come to the conclusion that no matter how hard I work, no matter what I've tried to do, people just don't want to pay for news, and I just can't come up with a way to make money by doing a WordPress news-centric website. So I wrote the post and said, if anybody else out there is thinking about doing what I've done or creating a WordPress news website to make money, you know, you're out of your mind. You're crazy. Stop. Don't do it. You know, I was looking at places like ThemeForest, where these guys are making one theme, making millions of dollars. Gravity Forms, one plugin, multi-million-dollar business. I'm thinking, okay, what am I doing? I'm working really hard. I'm producing this news. Maybe I should just write a plugin or a theme and make $1 million. You know, maybe it's that simple. Why am I playing the lottery? Just develop something. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's probably not that easy. And as you've had other guests on the show explain, it's not that easy. Mm-hmm. But I got a lot of responses from that. And that's when I decided, okay, I'm just going to leave the community. I'm going to change my career. It's time to get out and do something completely different, because it's not going to work. I've tried and tried and tried. I've made these deals. I'm still not able to put food on the table and do this WordPress stuff. And that's when I got in touch with Scott Riley, who worked for Audrey Capital at the time, an employee for Matt, and he got in touch with me. He says, well, what can we do to make you happy? What can we do to keep you on mm-hmm. WP Tavern full time? So we started negotiating deals on what would make me happy and things like that. And then Matt got involved, and he offered me an opportunity I just couldn't pass up, you know. And that's when I was finally able to quit my dead-end grocery store job of 13 years and do this full time. And man, it's been awesome.
So So this is why I love this, because, again, beginning of the show, off air, I'm not an entrepreneur, not really thinking of it that way.
No.
But this story is filled, it's just oozing entrepreneur.
I didn't even know it.
From the seams, because, I mean, it's not easy. And whether you're in New York, San Francisco, middle Ohio, you are alone in this startup world, in this entrepreneurial world, no matter where you are, because you always have these thoughts and these doubts. Will this work? Should I just make a plug-in and make $1 million? You know, that kind of thing. although not so easy.
Yeah.
you know, it's funny because the day that we're recording this, I published a show with co-founder of Food Plugins.
Yeah, Adam Warner.
Adam Warner. And his story, so I put out a post, I want somebody who's making $5,000 a month or $60,000 a year, who's open to talk about how much they make with their WordPress product, to join the show, tell folks how they did it. We started talking, and all of a sudden, he says, oh, I was running this one startup thing here, and I lost $30,000 a year in revenue. And I just turned my back on it, and I moved on. Like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, this is a much more interesting story. How did you lose $30,000 in annual revenue and then just turn away from it? You know, and he just wasn't passionate about it. He wasn't, passionate to recover it. He was taking all the wrong fundamental steps. He didn't pay attention to certain things. But it was a super important lesson for him to learn. So he might have continued on with that, you know, and it probably still would do well. But he wasn't really passionate about it, and it wasn't. There was no real lesson involved with it until it failed, right?
Right.
So,
yeah, and if you look at some of the most successful business people in the world, they've gone bankrupt 1, 2, 3 times, and you know, eventually at 4th or 5th time, boom, they hit the jackpot.
That's
so
right. Just like you. So let's talk about WordPress media sites. Let's talk about that Bermuda Triangle post. You know, where are we going with, you know, WordPress media, news sites, podcasts, web shows, stuff like that? You know, where do you think we're going? Do you think there's too much, not enough?
You know, I don't know. When I wrote that post, actually, when I made the deal with Matt and I was going to come on full time to do WP Tavern, you know, one of the things I had written in that post was, I can't come up with any reasons to convince somebody to pay me to just sit on my butt all day and write about WordPress. I mean, who's going to do that? I mean, that makes no sense. There's no incentive. That why would anybody do that? And Matt ends up being that guy to prove me wrong and says, here, I'll pay you to sit on your butt all day and write WordPress. So I felt like I was very lucky in that regard. But if you take a look at WP Daily, they're just rocking the world right now in WordPress. But on the side, they're backed by 8-Bit, so they have a revenue stream coming in. If you look at, if you look at different WordPress news websites, most of the time, you know, it was my opinion that if you don't have any financial backing, whether it be through another company or if you're not doing consulting on the side or if you're not selling plugins, like a great example is WPMU Dev, their website. They're not really popular and everything because they post news, but they have an entire assortment of plugins that you could purchase from them, and all that money provides opportunities to hire authors to write in that website. So I just could never find myself in a position to get that good financial backing that I could rely on from week to week to write about WordPress. And I don't know, I was talking about this last night on Dragcast, I don't know if WordPress news sites can live without that financial backing. I mean, Brian's doing a great job with Post Status, which is a curation type of new WordPress site. And last time I checked, there weren't any ads on it. And I think it's just a hobby he's done out of his spare time. But I think if you're just going to start up a WordPress news site and the idea is to make money, I don't see it working. You know, there's just too much time, too much effort, too much that you have to put into it, and you got to be able to get enough out of it to maintain that passion, maintain that fuel. And it's very hard, and I don't see that happening unless, you know, you've got the money from coming from somewhere.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that, hey, 18% powering the world's 18% of the internet websites, WordPress is, and as huge of a number that is, and as global as it is, like you brought up before, yeah, it's going to be tough for a news site unless you're a WP Daily and these other guys that already have a revenue stream in. You know, but it's interesting to see that there's going to be, or there should be, a tipping point where, you know what, there's going to be a market for people to want to see WordPress news. And we have to remember that it's not just WordPress news as we know it. You know, like, hey, there's been an update to Gravity Forms 1.7.5, and, you know, now includes front-end caching, like some, like, geek speak like that. There are people out there who are using WordPress to, you know, either their small business or they just have a photo gallery. They just want to know, like, the up-and-coming stuff. You know, who is Matt Mullenweg? What is this guy all about? Where is WordPress going as a platform? They might not need to know the super detailed stuff that only you and I really care about. So it's going to be interesting to see where that all of this stuff goes.
I think an interesting point that Brad had made yesterday is that when WP Tavern kind of disappeared, where I really didn't publish anything, he said he had noticed that they said there was a void. Mm. And he said it was interesting that any time I would write an article about stuff that they were doing, maybe a plugin that they had released, they would see a huge increase of traffic, plugins, downloads. And he said that, you know, there's an intricate need for websites like WP Tavern, like WP Daily, because those are the websites that are getting information about, you know, the newest themes, the newest plugins, the things that what makes up the majority of the WordPress user base and users wanting to use themes, users wanting to use plugins and things of that nature. And through websites like mine, WP Daily, you know, that's one of our jobs to put that information out there to the public. And I guess it was interesting when WP Tavern disappeared, it was kind of like, and when WP Kenny kind of fell off the bandwagon, not being able to publish the news and stuff like that hurt those businesses to an extent. So I thought that was kind of an interesting way of looking at how there really is a need for sites like WP Tavern and WP Daily to exist. And the more the merrier, I think.
Yeah. I mean, hey, it's look how many newspapers there are, right? Or were, and yeah, still continue. Were. And
I think that was a bad example.
Yeah, still continue to be, I guess. But think about how many media outlets we have, right?
Yes, yes.
So it's definitely, you know, good for the more competition is better for the end user, better for the customer. So, you know, people looking to get this information, you know, they're going to benefit in the long run as long as we all don't just disappear.
Yes. If we all don't just migrate to like Drupal or something.
Yeah, exactly. On the flip side of all this, a painter's house is never painted. WordPress is great for a media site or a news site looking to make money outside of the news of WordPress, right? So, you know, if you're a New York Times, a CNN, an ESPN, and you're looking to use WordPress to publish media and get ad sales or sell affiliate links, things like that, it is the number one platform to do that. So if you're in the audience listening, I want to create a media business using WordPress, it's still the platform to go. Jeff and I are just talking about how hard it is to sell WordPress news.
Yes. No, it's hard to I think a lot of other organizations are finding this out, that it's hard to sell something you can get for free.
Yes.
Yep. I think that's one of the bottom lines. And I toyed with the idea multiple times of creating like a membership site where people would have to pay me to get the news. And the more I thought of it, the more I thought of, well, I want this to be seen by as many people as possible. So putting up a paywall would be contradictory to what I'd want to accomplish. So I think that's one of the other things I struggled with for a long time is how do you make money off of something that people can consume for free? Right. You know, I don't have the answer to that.
Yeah. It's going to be finding the unique ways to do it. It's going to be finding something out of the norm that other people aren't doing yet and that the audience is going to enjoy. Mm-hmm. I think one of the sleeper media outlets would be the WPmail.me.
Yes, very good publication.
Just newsletter delivered to your inbox, right? So in the grand scheme of things, I haven't met with him. I'm trying to get him on the show. But I think one of those things, if you can go to an advertiser and say, I've got 20,000 subscribers delivered right to their inbox, an advertisement is $200 an edition or whatever it is he's charging. I forget the last time I checked. It's definitely a great way to corner the market and to get direct ad sales and increase revenue. So finding ways like that will definitely win in that regard.
Yeah, it's also interesting that these ideas I had through WP Tavern don't you hate it when you have ideas and you don't have the guts to go through with the idea to turn it into a reality, either because you don't know how or you don't have the money, and you see somebody else take your idea and find out it's a big success? You know, that's something that I saw with WP Candy when Ryan Emo actually came out and wrote. I never thought something like this would see the light of day, but he came out with an idea called The Quarterly, and it was actually the first ever that I know of magazine dedicated to WordPress. So we featured a bunch of different authors who wrote articles, and it was actually in a printed type of media. And there was a lot of success behind the first issue. A lot of people were ecstatic to actually have something in their hands to read. And I thought, you know, this would never make sense because people want to see digital content. But in fact, people, there was a demand out there for a WordPress type magazine to see it every month. Now, unfortunately, due to circumstances I don't know about, we haven't had a chance to see the second issue, and I don't know what's going on there. But it was pretty cool that, you know, I always wanted to have a magazine type thing, but I never thought it would turn into anything. And well, there you go. He proved me wrong.
Yeah, it's the entrepreneur's dilemma, right? Ideas are a dime a dozen. It's all about execution. I mean, I have a laundry list of ideas that other people have just executed faster.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where, hey, look, you're just going to have to find the next idea and try to execute. And, but yeah, I mean, I guess that it does suck, right? The bottom line is it does suck, right?
I mean, because you figure, well, if I would have done that,
right?
But granted, maybe I wouldn't have done it the same exact, like you said, execution. Maybe I wouldn't have executed it the right way and it would have been a failure. So I don't know, but it is, I guess it's reassuring to know that I had a good idea, and it's nice to see someone actually make that idea a reality and that there is demand behind it. So I guess I feel a little bit better about myself knowing that it was a good idea.
Yeah.
I got that going for me.
Yeah. I also like to look at it as it validates my idea.
Yes.
And now there's opportunity. So if you and I wanted to spin up a WP Mail Me competitor, what would we do? Well, we make the mailer look a little bit sexier. We'd have, you know, more, you know, quality news or whatever it might be. We might just go at it from a different angle.
Point of differentiation.
Yeah. You know, and that's just one example. But, yeah, I mean, it sucks. It's not easy. it is always the challenge. But it's the fun stuff, because after you walk through that desert for long enough and suffer like you and I have, eventually, one of those ideas will spin out and you'll get a good reward at the end of the tunnel. I think that wraps up the more formal interview. I think it was great, some great information, some great insight to what it's like to be a real WordPress entrepreneur, even though you might not consider yourself a real WordPress entrepreneur, although maybe you do now. Now that you might have a clearer path, things are gonna be on the up, and these ideas will be able to execute faster. I mean, you have a whole venture capital company behind you now, right?
Wow!
So now you can definitely go and pitch some ideas to get some insights.
Well, I don't know about being an entrepreneur, but I know I am an employee. But I'm an employee of a company that I love, and I love my job, and I love my boss. So nice. I can't ask for anything better than that.
Nice. Yeah, it is great. So let's jump into the next segment. It's called What's in Your Toolbox? What piece of software besides WordPress or hardware do you need to use on a daily basis to run your business? Like an Evernote, a Gmail, an iPad, that new mic you have?
Yes, this new mic will come in handy in the future. Every day, obviously I need my computer box. Yep. You know, without that, I can't get anything done. But my primary tool is Thunderbird. I use Thunderbird every day. Sometimes I work out of Thunderbird. I wish I could stop email from coming in sometimes, but I can't. I've created different folders, and I know a lot of people use Gmail, but I just come to love. I actually have my email routed through Gmail using IMAP, so I can manage it on Thunderbird install, whether it's on my PC, my phone. IMAP's like a wonderful email technology. I mean, it's awesome. You can manage email from any device. So that's a killer. Skype, big time Skype for using for communications, for doing calls and interviews like this. That's a big time piece of software I use.
Are you a Windows or a Mac guy?
Well, I used to be all Windows, but now I'm Windows and Mac.
Nice.
So just to the right of me, I have a MacBook Pro.
Nice.
I don't know how to use it, but but I'm gonna have to learn.
But it looks damn good, right?
Yes. Yes, that Retina display is pretty nice.
Yeah, nice. I'm still on the old MacBook Air, and they just announced the new one. So
yes.
But I might look at the Retina one. I mean, it's got more power, so we'll see. Awesome stuff. Let's jump into the lightning round. I'll ask you a series of quick questions. You'll have a series of quick answers. The one plugin you cannot live without.
A Gizmet.
A favorite WordPress or business book.
WordPress for Dummies.
A quote you live or run your business by.
It's hard to get to heaven when you got to live through hell.
What's the best advice you've ever business or career advice you've ever received?
If you have a bunch of ideas, throw them all at the wall and see which one sticks. Nice. Go with that one.
Nice. The longest a client project has ever taken, if you've ever done client work.
Never done client work.
Never done client. If you had to switch to another CMS, what would it be?
Ghost.
Ooh, I think that's the first time someone answered that one. Who should I interview next?
Boy, my brain's not working. I can't come up with quick answers.
Yeah, that's okay. It's the round.
Probably John Saddington of WP Daily. That'd be probably a good interview.
Already covered him.
Oh.
Someone else you want to see.
Well, I guess bring on Matt, my boss.
Nice. What's the one question I didn't ask you that I should have?
What's my favorite beverage?
What is your favorite beverage?
Mountain Dew.
Is it really? Nice.
Yes. Yes, if you look in the bottom of my website, you'll see that it's powered by WordPress, but it's also powered by Mountain Dew.
Yes, I did see that. Yep. Awesome stuff. Well, Jeff, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show to share your story as a WordPress entrepreneur. You know, folks, if you haven't learned anything, you probably weren't listening to him well enough. Go ahead and check out WP Tavern. Jeff, where else can they find you on the web to say thanks?
You can find me at Twitter, at WP Tavern. If you have a question for me, if you have a plugin you'd like me to review, if you have a site or service, you got some news, just send it to me at jeffc@wptavern.com.
Nice. Everyone, mattreport.com. If you want to see other interviews like this, mattreport.com/subscribe to stay in the loop. Thanks, everybody.